So I'm going to call to order the Senate Committee on General Government and Accountability for February 15th. And we're going to start with a public hearing on Senate Bill 120. Do you want to give us a rundown on that, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 120 makes the State Chief Information Officer responsible for information systems security at the Secretary of State's and State Treasurer's offices. It has a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Legislation, Information Management, and Technology.
Thank you. So Chelsea and Steve, you want to come up? Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Hello.
Oh, okay.
Chair Riley, members of the committee, thank you for having me here today. My name is Chelsea Broussard, and I'm the policy director at the Oregon State Treasury. I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon State Treasury to testify against Senate Bill 120. The Oregon State Treasury agrees with what we believe to be the goals of the bill, more collaboration, improved consistency, and shared best practices. However, we must oppose this bill. The State Treasurer is an independently elected constitutional officer, and threatening our office's independence by placing the control of our IT system under a different constitutional office gives us serious concern. In particular, the potential for political interference to inhibit our ability to carry out our mandate is worrisome. I'd like to direct the committee's attention to Article 6, Section 5 of the Oregon Constitution that states, "The Governor, Secretary of State, and Treasurer shall severally keep the public records, books, and papers at the seat of government in any manner relating to their respective offices." We contend that this includes our IT systems as they are an integral part of our public record keeping. If the mandate out of this committee is to improve our IT systems and our IT security, we will certainly work with the committee to do so. And if the mandate out of this committee is to improve our collaboration efforts with the state CIO and with other state agencies or elected officials, we will look forward to mutually beneficial collaboration. However, there is an accountability that is lost under this structure. As a separately elected office, we are accountable to the people of Oregon, and that has the potential to be lost if we don't control our IT systems, and in particular, our IT security. Thank you for your time. That's it.
Thank you. Chair Riley, members of the committee, my name is Steve Elzinga, and I'm the Governmental and Legal Affairs Director for the Oregon Secretary of State. And like the Treasurer's Office, if there are any problems that the committee perceives with our current IT systems, we're happy to work with the committee to address those. Secretary Richardson has made IT security one of his highest priorities, including by hiring an IT security expert as his Deputy Secretary of State. I think that sends a strong message that that's where his focus is. He's already instructed the IT Audits Department to do an internal assessment of our IT security systems to ensure that they are fully secure, and he's looking to add two new IT auditors to help ensure that other agencies are implementing the recommendations of the state CIO in far as security goes. So there's no concern on our part with the recommendations of the CIO. We want to help the CIO implement those. However, we're concerned with the way SB 120 would be implemented. And as an agency that prioritizes robust IT security, we are constantly collaborating with the state security community. We provide LFO with our annual security initiatives, project reports, and access to our security policies. We provide the Enterprise Security Office under the state CIO, and as well as LFO, executive summary reports on any security issues and risk assessments. We are working with the state CIO and ESO on the development of new security policies and procedures to ensure continuity. And we also participate in the statewide Information Security Council and Information Security Risk Group working on statewide risk assessment and management standards. And so in light of our strong focus on IT security, we believe that SB 120 is unnecessary. Also, SB 120 would create significant conflicts of interest and make it difficult for us to move forward quickly on time-sensitive IT projects like the recently released webpage on the Oregon Constitutional Challenge, which we launched yesterday, with less than a month of IT work to make that happen. We're concerned that we wouldn't be able to move as quickly if the CIO is allowed to make determinations on how quickly we move forward. And finally, we believe, like the Treasurer's Office, that SB 120 is contrary to Article 6, Section 5 of the Oregon Constitution. And as such, we respectfully ask the committee not to move forward with SB 120. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you. Stephen, you sent out the email to us back on February 10th, and pretty much what you just went over seems like you're just putting on the record now. And so you bring up the point of the Article 6, Section 5, and I read through that, and I guess if you take the literal reading at the seat as to where these documents are supposed to be kept, how do we justify using some type of electronic system that you may have a cloud that's not at the seat of government, in this case, context here in Salem? Because the way I read that literally, if you're going to take the Constitution at its face, it says the governor, the secretary of state, and the treasurer shall severally keep the public records, books, and papers at the seat of government in any manner relating to their respective offices. So if we're going to take a little reading and that's your interpretation, then are you not going to be able to have some type of storage off outside of Salem? There's, you have to have all that inside the office for the Secretary of State?
That's an excellent question, and I'd want to consult with our legal counsel on the answer to that.
That'd be great.
So I think that's all the questions we have. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I'm going to carry this to a later date, and we will schedule it for another hearing, and we're going to move on to Senate Bill 191. Let me close the public hearing on Senate Bill 120 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 191.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 191 requires information about energy tax incentives, tourism, local government, affordable housing incentives, and environmental cleanup initiatives to be added to the transparency website maintained by the State Chief Information Officer. It declares an emergency effective on passage, becomes operative January 1st, 2018, has no subsequent referral.
So I understand that we may have an amendment to this that we've gotten in. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senator Thatcher's office did send a note asking for a document to be uploaded. It's been uploaded. It's my understanding that OLSN is publicly available. I haven't seen it.
Okay. Oh, I can tell you about it.
Yeah, would you please?
Do you want me to go down there? Because it takes me a while, so I can just do it right here, right?
Right, okay. Here. Don't bother.
Okay, yeah, really. Don't take up extra time. All right, so in 2009, the transparency website came into being. It came to fruition through bipartisan efforts, and we did what we could within what the agency could take on given current funding. It didn't add any funding, and it hasn't yet. And therefore, well, I'll get to that later, but we've passed a few bills over time that have added just different economic development incentives to the website. And some have come on as new programs since then. And so just jumping down, I mean, for instance, we've added like reporting on some of the former Betsy Energy tax credits, a list of economic development incentives, and others added the state treasurer's office along, and then we had added public meeting notices as well. We have a virtual suggestion box, I mean, all kinds of little things on there, film tax credits, or public records, a whole list. This just adds a few more, like in how, whatever year it was. Anyway, several House bills have been passed, three of which are added to this bill. One would be the solar energy tax incentive programs, and like what's happening with these programs, what are we getting out of it? That's the whole point of putting these things on the transparency website. The other one, other two are environmental cleanup programs and then expenditures made to promote tourism. And then there was a Senate bill 1533 that created incentives for affordable housing. And so it just puts these incentives and expenditures on the transparency website for the public to see where their money is spent. The amendment is actually turned into a House bill. It's also a House bill, but since we have this here, I was thinking we could suggest it as a friendly amendment. It would add the semi-independent state agencies listed in ORS 182454. It would add public universities listed in ORS 352002 and state programs operated by a public university listed, and the Oregon Health Science and Science University. I always forget the "and" part. The Oregon Tourism Commission, Oregon Film and Video Office, the Travel Information Council, the Children's Trust Fund of Oregon Foundation, the Oregon Corrections Enterprises, the State Accident Insurance Fund Corporation, the Oregon Utility Notification Center, and any public corporation created under statute of the state and specifically designated as a public corporation. And I would also add, it would be good to amend out the emergency clause. It was never intended to be there. We want to give operative authority to allow the agency to do whatever preparatory work to enact it. But, you know, that was never intended to be there.
Thank you. And I've already put in an amendment to take that out.
Yeah, and I don't know what bill number. So, Representative Whitsitt introduced the amendment, the language of the amendment, as a bill on the House side.
Okay.
So I don't know if he's going to be able to be here today, but the whole point of the transparency website is just to give more information about where people's money goes and what programs that we're doing, expenditures, which are tax dollars, how they're being used. So.
Thank you. Let's hear from the department. Mark?
Yes, Chair Riley, members of the committee, for the record, Mark Garst with the Oregon Department of Revenue. We saw this bill come through and just caught our eye. It has some reporting requirements for local governments to report certain economic incentives related to brownfields and affordable housing. I read the staff SMS, and I'm not sure that the way that we read the bill, that there's actually a requirement that those local governments report. So it does require the state chief information officer to set up a space where they might report, but I don't think that it actually necessarily requires them to report. So if that's intentional, great. I just want to bring it to your attention, though, just let you know that's kind of where we're at on it. And then if you were to require the local governments to report, I would just suggest that you consider some language similar to what you might find at the beginning of the statute. So 184.483.2, it just has some language in there. To the extent practicable, subject to laws relating to confidentiality, when at no additional cost, using existing data and existing resources of the, in this case, it's the state agency, and without reallocation of resources. And so if you didn't want to create a burden for the locals, that might be something that you could throw in there. So just something that I thought I would bring to your attention, and with that, I'll take any questions.
Questions?
No, I appreciate it. Mr. Chair, if you just a moment, I appreciate that, and that it was, I think, most of the time where people wanted to go. They didn't want to necessarily put a burden on local jurisdictions, but allow for some of this information to come forth. It was mostly a mandate for the state government to be transparent, and so yeah, I do appreciate it. And I realize that because the agency has. Not your agency necessarily, but the DAS and the CIO actually, I guess, is the one that does it now.
It's not DAS anymore.
Yeah,
right?
Because they haven't had extra funding to implement this, and they've just been doing it with their existing resources, that we may need to pare some of this down if it's not doable for them.
Right, and I think we will, carry this over and get the CIO's office in and get a fiscal on this before we go forward. Anything else? Any other of this? Thank you very much, Mark.
Certainly.
Jody Weiser. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Jody Weiser, speaking for Tax Fairness Oregon. And I don't know if this is possible because of the very issue that Mark just brought up. But the audit, the state audit of Business Oregon pointed to the fact that there are a number of economic development programs that there are no reports required for, so there's nothing, there's no transparency about them. They're some of the ones we're trying to evaluate this very year. And when you don't have data to look at, it's pretty hard to evaluate them. So I don't know whether this bill could actually accomplish the requiring that the reporting, as well as putting it on the website, because those are two different functions. But it seems like it's something that should be looked into. There were two kinds of issues that they identified, I think, primarily. One is you can have a tax break and not report to anybody with a number of the programs. So that's one issue. And the other is that the other's just left my mind.
And you're not even the governor of Texas.
Well, I won't have any alternate testimony there. I can't remember the other reason at the moment.
Okay.
Okay.
Questions? So thank you. I think that's a good idea and a good observation. So I think we need to look at if those reports are even available that we're asking them to make room to
and
put on.
Mr. Chair, and that's a lot of it there. Because we're having to operate within existing resources, creating a report that doesn't exist is kind of where the breakdown is, I think. Okay.
And I did remember there are some rules that don't allow departments to speak to each other. And so you can't get something verified, even though you know the employment division has the information. They can't verify it. So you need to require that it be reported to Business Oregon rather than not require it being reported. So there are requirements of the businesses that would have to be added, and the economic development officer in the neighborhood of the tax break. Thanks.
Interesting. Thanks.
Anything else on this? Is there anybody else who wants to speak to this bill? No. So we do have some more work to do on this one, and it will come up again. I think we need to reach out to the state CIO to let us know, how much it's going to cost, if anything, if you can do it within current budget. And maybe look into those reports that we're asking for that don't exist. So if there's nothing else, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 191. Anything for the good of the order? Short and sweet today.
Beautiful. Good job.
We're closing the this day.
Beautiful. Good job.